contract is an attempt to predict the future. For an agreement that covers a time span of more than a few days, that attempt is almost certain to fail. It is much more likely to succeed if the contract is entered into with full knowledge and consent by all the parties involved, so that all the parties to a contract have an interest in making its predictions come true. Humans do have a very limited ability to predict the future or near-term events some of the time. But beyond that, we are clueless. That's why entering into a contract is a form of gambling. That's also why it is in the best interest of all the parties in any contract to make the contract as simple as possible and cover as short a time as possible. A contract that is viewed as fair by all the parties involved has a much greater chance of success. Contracts are a major tool of human survival. Proper management of contracts is a principal function of any society. We can't live without contracts, but it is often difficult to live with contracts. You might think the U.S. Constitution is the example that proves that a long-term contract is viable. But anyone who subscribes to that notion would also have to believe that the U.S. Constitution is being obeyed by the government and by the people. If you believe that the U.S. Constitution is being honored, then you might also be interested in buying fertile land in the middle of Death Valley. In the USA, we have the criminal law and we have the civil law. Citizens are governed by laws and the people that enforce the laws. Citizens have little or no say in the wording of the laws and little or no control over how the laws are enforced and who executes the enforcement. Some do claim that the government has a contract with the people, but such claims are easily debunked. The law is not a set of contracts. It is a means of extorting and controlling the general public by so-called public servants. The law is only a contract in the sense that a mafia hit is a contract. The civil law is more reasonable than the criminal law, even though the civil law heavily favors corporations and moneyed interests over the general public. Thank you. both the civil and the criminal law are actually governed by the higher laws of information theory, psychology, and game theory. That's why millions of people in the USA use cannabis, even though it is against the law to use cannabis. That's why people can sign civil contracts that they never read without fear of dire consequences. Because any jury is going to be composed of people who also don't read the contracts they sign. Outcomes of disputes in both the civil and the criminal spheres depend very little on the exact wording of the documents involved, and very much on the tactics and psychology of the people involved. In the civil law, a contract is not valid unless it has been agreed to by all the parties involved. There also has to be an exchange of something of value before a civil law contract can be enforced. The civil law is much less authoritarian than the criminal law. We would be well advised to minimize the criminal view and maximize the civil view. Everyone is equal in the civil law, except, of course, lawyers, judges, and cops, who are more equal than the rest of us. We need non-coercive governance. I use the term governance because non-coercive government is an obvious contradiction in terms. If you feel that someone is doing wrong, your best bet for putting them on the right track is to politely point out what you see as their failing. Maybe they will correct their behavior, and maybe they won't. But you will have a much better chance of getting a positive result if you leave the threats and violence out of the discussion. If there are no threats, then people can concentrate on solving social problems rather than quarreling or fighting. If there are no threats, then you might get a response that changes your perception of the problem and leads to a resolution with some behavior changes for all involved. Trying to change behavior using threats just leads to arguments about what violent response is appropriate on both sides of the argument. And the original problem gets lost in the shuffle and never solved. On the other hand, people will go to ridiculous lengths to fit into a society if they feel motivated to do so. Threats destroy that motivation, ruin the mood, and eliminate opportunities for successful cooperation. Non-coercive governance is much more effective at guiding people's behavior into constructive channels than violent and deceitful government. As usual, it all boils down to these two principles. Freedom works. Slavery sucks.